God of the living word, give us faith to receive your message, the wisdom to know what it means, and the courage to put it into practice. Amen.
Amen.
Now, some churches have a system of preaching on a series of readings or chapters or books of the Bible. And as I sat here last Sunday, I thought perhaps you might think this week that we'd taken up that practice. You might find some reflections of Bill's last week echoing in what I have to say today. So I pray that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if any of you still make New Year's resolutions, and if so, whether 17 days later you've been strong-willed enough to keep them. I gave up making them some years ago, but I still try to pray afresh at this time of year for the guidance of what God wants of me during the coming year. The start of a new year, a little like Lent, can be an ideal opportunity to ponder and pray about how we might serve God in the year ahead. Whether he might want us to change something in our lives, take a new direction, or even give up something we've been committed to for many years, perhaps to give ourselves space or in order to do something new. We don't generally witness such miraculous instances of change as we hear in the miracle of Jesus changing water into wine at a wedding. A miracle which John and only John records as Jesus' first miracle at the beginning of his active ministry. But be assured, God is still changing us today. Changing and challenging us to use the gifts he has given us. Gifts we have yet to be made aware of. Gifts we may be called to use in his service. Gifts we may have put to one side, just as we may have done with some of our Christmas gifts, on the basis that we don't think they quite suit us, or we won't make use of them. God may have other ideas. As it states in the publicity for an archdeaconry vocations event to be held locally next Saturday, where it says, there are all kinds of ways in which we can serve Jesus in our everyday life. We can serve him at home, at work, at school or college, in our leisure time and with our friends, as well as at church. We are called by God to be his followers and to serve him and his world by using the gifts he has given us. Our vocation, God's calls to us, takes on a number of forms. We may be called to teaching, or marriage, or a life of deeper prayer, or helping people in our community, or indeed one or more of these. Some will feel called to public ministry in God's church, either as a reader, which is what I am, or as a priest, or to a leadership role as a church warden, youth worker, or Sunday school teacher. If you would like to find out more about what public ministry in the Church of England entails, this event is for you. And there are details of that in Partnership News. In the Christian context, a vocation is a call of the people of God. This might be to an ordained or licensed ministry, but more widely, as in Luther's doctrine, that all Christians have a divine calling. It's not uncommon to dismiss a sense of vocation in thoughts such as, surely not me, I'm not clever enough, there are others more able than me, I'm too busy, I'm too young, or too old. Even Jesus, as we heard this morning, said to his mother, my time has not yet come. In the Old Testament, first book of Samuel, we read in a most stirring account of how both the wise priest Eli and the young Samuel failed three times to realize it was God calling Samuel. I know what it is to put off God's calling. I did this for some 10 plus years of my life. Some people are fortunate to get a specific sense of what God wants of them. For many, much soul searching and discussion with others is required before discerning the path to take. Once on that path, we may find there are diversions, paths blocked, and new paths opening up. Next Saturday is an ideal opportunity to perhaps step out onto the path and see where it takes us. For without that first faltering step, we don't know where others may lead. Equally, we may have valid reasons for not exploring God's call to this depth. But there are, as I said earlier, many and varied ways to serve God within the partnership or the wider church or community. Ways in which we can each use the different spiritual gifts, as we heard in Paul's letter to the Corinthians this morning. We read, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The gifts listed here are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing by that one Spirit, miraculous prowess, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. You might be daunted by those. But Paul points out that they're all to be used for the common good, not for giving themselves status and significance. Later in his letter, Paul lists more gifts as apostles, teachers, helping, and guidance. Perhaps these seem more accessible to you and resonate with you. One of the delights of 5 years of Messy Church is for over this time, some 20 plus people have exercised and continue to exercise their own many and varied gifts. With commitment, dedication, and diligence for the common good of the families who attend and our team. They use their God-given gifts, skills, and talents, often in very demanding circumstances. And they use them unstintingly in their desire that their own knowledge and experience of God in their lives may be passed on to those who might otherwise not hear of his laws, life, and love as shown through Jesus. Such is the popularity of Messy Church, is that we are always praying that others will feel called to join the team. Age, young or old, is no barrier. Until recently, George Burton, who was in his 90s but sadly died 2 weeks ago, was actively enjoying helping us by setting up tables and chairs and generally being around where needed. If this is something you feel God is calling you to, please speak to myself or Richard. To encourage you to be alert to God's call, I leave you with an actual, fairly recent example of someone in this church who in one Sunday morning service heard God's call and by the same afternoon responded positively to it. And that person is Linda, who is out with our children and who now enthusiastically leads our junior church. Even though at the beginning she did not have any experience of craft with young people. And as we have seen by the varied and colourful crafts produced, which reinforce the teaching and the enthusiasm of our young people have for junior church, God's Spirit has truly been working through Linda and can work in us if only we take the risk. There is an essential ingredient undergirding all our Christian ministries, which is prayer. Without prayer, before, during, and after all we do, our efforts will at some point fail to flourish and eventually fold. Prayer is a ministry we can all do, which is not dependent on any mental or physical ability. Prayer is a ministry we can all do, whether it be in our own homes, in groups, as we go about our daily activities, and of course in church. A gift for us all, which we can use for ourselves, for others, for our church, and our wider world. Amen.